Let's hear the word of God. 11:32, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Father, we come again to your word, and we come needy, come that we might receive again the life-giving word, your word. And so, Father, we ask that your Spirit would come now and illuminate our hearts, give us light that we might receive your word as your word, Father, that you would write its truth upon our hearts, that we would respond by faith, that it would do its work in us for the glory of your name and for our eternal joy. We pray in Jesus. Amen. So here we come to the end of chapter 11, the great chapter of faith, where we have seen example after example after example of the persevering faith of God's people. We've seen the necessity of faith and the way that faith operates in the midst of particular circumstances. And as we come to the end of the chapter, we get this summary, this barrage of names, of things that were done by faith, of things that were endured by faith. And the center of these closing verses of the chapter, the center is again to just impress upon our minds, number one, that faith is essential for the Christian life. We've seen that throughout the whole chapter, and it's impressed upon us again in this great conclusion, this grand finale, if you will, in chapter 11. Faith is that central principle of the Christian life. That's why we're called believers. Because the defining reality in our lives as Christians is trust in what God has done for us in Christ. Faith is essential. But not only is faith essential, but persevering faith is what we are called to throughout this whole chapter. We must persevere in faith. The warning in Hebrews, we saw it at the beginning, and it's been impressed upon us along the way through the negative example of unbelieving Israel in the wilderness. They perish in the wilderness through unbelief. So, brothers and sisters, we must hear again the call to faith at the end of this chapter. We can never think lightly of faith. We can never think that we've moved beyond faith. We can never think that our faith is of sufficient strength. We're good now. But we must always remember that faith is essential. Faith is central. And we must remember that the call to the Christian is to continue to believe, to go on in faith, to proceed in faith, to face everything that comes our way in the Christian life by faith. Never in our own strength, never in our own power, never in what we can provide, never in what we can bring to the table, never in what we can find to try to commend ourselves to God, but by faith. And again, just for a moment, think about why faith is so important. Faith magnifies God. Faith points away from ourselves. That's the essence of faith. Faith is to look to ourselves and see we don't have what it takes. Faith looks to ourselves and see that we are condemned. Faith looks in ourselves and sees that we are guilty. Faith looks to ourselves and see that we are weak and we are powerless. And it looks in ourselves and the circumstances around us and says, I don't have what it takes. But faith then turns and it looks to God. And it sees that He has made full and complete provision in Christ, in the gospel, to deal with all of my guilt, to deal with all of my sin, to deal with all of my weakness, and to, in looking to the power of God, to overcome every obstacle that could come up in the path of obedience in the Christian life. And the way that the author does this for us here, at the closing of the chapter, is to just stack up for us a whole bunch of more examples, but not to get into the details. Right? You see how he comes to the conclusion here in verse 32, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell." In other words, I'm not actually going to expand upon all of these things, but here they are. Here's another list for you. And what we learn in the end of Hebrews 11 is the importance of rightly using Old Testament example. And there's going to be extension to church history example in strengthening and persevering our own faith throughout the Christian life. What the author to the Hebrews is teaching us this morning is that we need examples. He's teaching us how to read the Old Testament as it relates to our own need for persevering faith. We are called to see faith lived out on the pages of Scripture. We don't just get a dense theological explanation of faith. But as we've seen through the beginning of the chapter, and now as it's emphasized even more, because the author says, I could just keep going. We could look at everyone throughout the Old Testament who had faith, and beloved, this is what you need. You need to look to examples. That's one of the means that God has given you and me to strengthen our faith, to lead us to persevere instead of turning from the Lord, instead of committing apostasy, instead of perishing in unbelief. We need examples. We're called to see it live, to know the history of God's people, to become acquainted with their faith. The author to the Hebrews is doing what Paul says the Old Testament is for. If you flip back a little ways to 1 Corinthians for a moment, flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and Paul has just been narrating one section of the history of the people of Israel. And in verse 11 of chapter 10, he says, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come." Here's the principle that Paul is saying in that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He's saying these things were written down. They happened to these people way back, but they're written down for our instruction. Us now, on whom the end of the ages have come. We, on this side of the cross, have things to learn from those who lived on the other side of the cross. And that's what the author to the Hebrews has been doing throughout chapter 11 and what he continues to do at the end of the chapter. To say you need to be familiar with examples of faith in the Old Testament, because that's one of the ways in which your faith will be strengthened, that you will be spurred on to endure, to persevere all the way to the end. That's one of the means that God has provided you so that you would not be like unbelieving Israel who perished in the wilderness, but rather the one who goes on to obtain promises, the one who receives the prize, the one who endures to the end. And so we want to see this morning the specific ways that we are to take the examples that are given to us in the Old Testament and apply them to our lives so that we would learn from the examples of faith that come before us. There's two sections in our passage this morning. In the first section, we see the example of the power of faith in overcoming obstacles, the power of faith in winning victory. This is the first section, the example of the power of faith in overcoming obstacles, the power of faith in winning victory. Look back at the passage for a moment. Notice he begins to list people: Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And then he gives us a list of the ways in which we see the mighty power of faith worked out in their lives. What happened in the lives of these people that he's listed and the prophets? Well, it says that in verse 33, these individuals conquered kingdoms because they were immensely strong and immensely skilled in the art of war. No. It's through faith that they conquered kingdoms. It wasn't because they had vastly superior armies. It wasn't because they had vastly superior weaponry. It wasn't because they had the best strategies. No, it was through faith kingdoms were conquered. Kingdoms of those who had superior strength and might. And yet we see across the pages of Scripture that when God sends His old covenant people into settings where they are to make war, kingdoms fall before them. It says, by faith they enforced justice, trusting God's word as the standard of true justice, and then living according to that standard, applying that standard in their lives and in the society in which they lived. It says, by faith they obtained promises. And so we know in Scripture, God promises things to His people. Sometimes specific things to specific people, sometimes general things to all His people, or specific things to all His people. But God makes promises. But we know, and it's been emphasized throughout chapter 11, that those promises don't just float out there somewhere and then sort of just come to fruition in the lives of people who are just ignoring them and going on about their own way. We see that it is faith. Faith is the instrument that receives the promises of God, that obtains the promises in real time in our lives. And so it is clear testimony of Scripture that apart from the exercise of faith, you or I have absolutely no encouragement whatsoever to expect promises to be realized in our life. We have no encouragement whatsoever in Scripture that if we ignore the promise of God that those who walk by the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the flesh, that somehow we won't gratify the desires of the flesh in our lives. We have no warrant for believing that. It is by faith that that happens. By faith in God's Word, I trust what He says, and then in turn, by faith, I walk by the Spirit, like it says, and then the promise is obtained. It becomes a reality in my life that I will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Apart from faith, that does not happen. We see that the saints of old, here in the Old Covenant, obtained promises. What kind of promises? They obtained promises that they would come into a land and that they would drive out the enemies and that they would possess that land. And guess what? God did that for them as they trusted His Word. They saw that promise come to reality. And of course, there's many more. We see here the power of faith in dramatic victories. It says that by faith, the mouths of lions were stopped. Remember the story of Daniel. He's given a command that he cannot obey, and so he goes publicly and he prays just as he always has, and of course he's thrown into the lion's den. And here we get a little window. How is it that Daniel's not consumed? How is it that those lions' mouths did not devour him that night he spent in the pit? By faith. Daniel trusted his God. Daniel trusted his God, and the mouths of lions were stopped. Faith wins the victories because it looks away from itself and it looks to God who has all power in Himself. We see that faith quenched the power of fire. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you remember that they were called to worship idols, and they said, no, we will not do that. And they were told, here's the furnace, you're going to be thrown in. If you remember the story, they make it hotter and hotter, so hot that it's burning the people who are getting it ready. And those three men say, we will not bow the knee to any idol. Our God will save us. He will save us. And if He doesn't save us, we're still not doing it. There's faith. Faith in expression. Faith It says in this passage, quench the power of fire. How was it that they were preserved in the midst of the fiery furnace? It was by faith. Faith was the instrument by which they received the power of God to protect them in the furnace. By faith, men escaped the edge of the sword. By faith, men were made strong out of weakness. By faith, they were made mighty in war. They put foreign armies to flight. By faith, women received back their dead by resurrection. The author teaches us that we need these examples in order to persevere in faith in our own lives. Well, there seem to be a couple of obstacles to that. Number one, we look at this list and we think, well, these situations are clearly exceptional. They're dramatic. They're exceptional. They're isolated in Scripture. This is not my situation. I'm not like that. So what's the lesson for me? Why do I need examples like that? Are the examples given so that just in case I'm told, bow down to an idol or you go in the furnace, I'm ready for that? This is a real question we ask as we read the Scriptures. Is the example given, okay, I'm prepared now. If ever there's going to be an idol constructed in the middle of town here, and we're told, bow down, or the furnace is waiting, I'm ready, I'm strengthened. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I see what faith looked like in their lives, and now I'm prepared. But that's not how it works. That's not the function of these examples for us. One old writer helps us here by pointing to the reality that what the author to the Hebrews is doing here is the same thing that James does. Do you remember in the book of James? James is encouraging individuals to pray, which really is encouraging them to greater faith. And what does he do? He brings up the example of Elijah. He prayed. It didn't rain for all this time. And then he prayed and it did rain. And we go, okay, well, there's an exceptional situation. Am I called to pray that there would be no rain on the earth for so and so long and then later to pray? No. But James tells us what? He says, look, you're looking at the exceptional, but what do you need to learn? Elijah was just a dude. He was a human being. He was a man just like you and just like me. And he prayed, and this happened. And then he prayed, and this didn't happen. The lesson is that we are actually the same as Elijah. We are actually the same as Barak and Jephthah and Samson and Samuel and Gideon and the prophets and all the rest. What were they? Human beings. Made in the image of God, fallen, destroyed, wrecked through sin, who needed to trust in the almighty power of God, and in trusting in Him and what He could do and what He could provide and what He had promised, all of these glorious things happened. The thing that we are to learn from the Old Testament examples is that these people were like us. Did they face particular circumstances? Yes. But they were just like us. And they trusted God. Fire was quenched, the mouths of lions were stopped, armies were put to flight, kingdoms were conquered. We are like them in the thing, in the respects that matters. And so we ought to be strengthened. They didn't have something special. They weren't superhuman beings, right? When we see the superhero stories that are popular in these days, those people are not like us. That's why they're cool. They have superpowers. And we find that interesting or amusing or whatever. But the litany of people listed for us here and the exceptional things that they did are given to us to show us not that they had something we don't have, but that they have what we do have. They had faith. And if you have faith, you too can win victories. Because the same God that worked for them is living and active and working for His people this morning, this day. The second area that helps us to apply this to our lives is to look at just the particulars of the people He chooses to list at the end here of the chapter. He could have picked many more people from the Old Testament. But what brings together the specific names that He lists here? Well, I think the thing that brings together these specific names is that we've got some serious failures, some serious flaws, some serious problems in each one of these men in their lives. This is to encourage us that though they had failed in significant ways, God views them on account of their faith. And not only that, God encourages you and me this morning not to look back and say, but look what I've done. Look at my track record. Look at how I've failed. He encourages you this morning to not believe the evil one who says to you, yeah, look how you failed. Look at all the ways that you've stumbled. You ought to simply abandon this whole project. You should just give up already. Clearly, you're not going to make it to the end. He wants to encourage us this morning that whatever your past looks like, His power is available to you right now, this morning. Trust in Him, take Him at His word, and He will work in your life. So we're encouraged in two ways as we look at these examples. Number one, we're encouraged because these were individuals who were human like us. They were not superhuman. They did not have something that we did not have. And number two, they had significant failures, significant flaws. But at the end of the day, they trusted the Lord. At the end of the day, they turned from their sin, and they are considered commended on account of their faith in spite of what they did. So don't evaluate what's possible today and tomorrow based on what happened yesterday and last week. Evaluate what's possible in your life today and tomorrow by looking at God and His power and His promises. So we see the example of the power of faith in great victories. And then we see the power of faith in enduring great suffering. Notice that it's the same faith that conquers kingdoms and endures persecution and even death. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Because God is supremely powerful, faith is sufficient to endure the most acute, the most intense, the most exquisite, the worst persecutions that we could ever imagine. So we have the examples of all these situations that are just listed for us. How could one endure stoning? How could one endure being killed with a sword? How could one endure being just pushed out of all society and going about in goat skins and living in the desert and mountains and dens and hiding in caves? How could one endure that? It's by the same faith that conquers kingdoms. Because the same God who enables us to win great victories is the same God who enables us to endure great sufferings. Now, another way that we take these truths and apply them to our lives, we look at these examples and apply them to our lives, is by arguing from the greater to the lesser. It's hard to imagine a greater list of victories than conquering kingdoms, stopping the mouths of lions, putting armies to flight, quenching fire. Right? If you're going to list things that could be accomplished by faith, that's pretty high up there. And it's hard to list, you know, some worse sufferings that could be endured than this list here, being sawn in two. All the persecutions that are listed here. And God would have us take those and see these individuals both conquered by faith and endured by faith. And if kingdoms can be conquered by faith, then what are you to learn for this afternoon? You have the same faith available to you because the same God is available to you. Okay? Are you called to conquer a kingdom this afternoon? Maybe not, but are you called to conquer? To persevere in loving someone who's despising you, speaking all kinds of evil and slander against you? How are you going to do that? Well, one way that you're strengthened, that you say, if Joshua could conquer Canaan by faith, if Gideon and those few hundred men could put armies to flight by faith, then I can keep loving someone who hates me. If the mouths of lions could be stopped by faith, then I can keep patiently instructing this child, correcting them again, teaching them the truth again, praying for their soul again, until God brings in the harvest. And if by faith some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life, then I can continue to trust God in whatever suffering He's brought into my life. Because He's the same God who saw them through that suffering. And so He can see me through this cancer. He can see this me through losing my sibling. He can see me through miscarriage. He can see me through reviling and slander at work. He can see me through the fact that I might lose my job simply because I won't put rainbows at the bottom of my email. All of these things are endured and accomplished by faith in God. But there's one more level to this. If you look at the end of the end of the chapter. See, we had the argument from the greater to the lesser. But now we have an argument from the lesser to the greater. Verse 39, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. These Old Testament saints, though commended for their faith, did not receive that ultimate promise. They did not see the fulfillment in Christ. They did not see Him come in the flesh. They did not see the inauguration of the new covenant in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not see that sins were atoned for on the cross. They looked ahead by faith. They trusted in promises. Yes, they had them, but they saw them from afar off. But we have received what is promised in the gospel. It has come for us. What has been provided for us is better. So, beloved, if they could conquer kingdoms by faith in the time of shadow, when all they had were types and shadows and promises of the coming seed of who would crush the head of the serpent. But now we've come into the fullness. We've seen the fulfillment in Christ. How much more then can we conquer kingdoms and put enemies to flight and overcome sin and temptation and endure evil and walk by faith in suffering and trial and persecution? I think Calvin just puts it memorably and beautifully here. And he says, "For if they on whom the light of grace had not as yet so brightly shone, displayed so great a constancy in enduring evils, what ought the full brightness of the gospel to produce in us? A small spark of light led them to heaven. When the Sun of Righteousness shines over us, with what pretense can we excuse ourselves if we still cleave to the earth?" To see what they were able to do by faith under the time of types and shadows ought to give us such great confidence that we, upon whom the end of the ages has have come, we who live on this side of the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, how much more can we win victory by faith? How much more can we endure suffering by faith? So, brothers and sisters, what matters centrally is not your past failings, nor the immensity of future obstacles, nor the fury of evil persecutors, but faith. Faith in Christ, faith in His work, faith in all His promises. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world: our faith. Let's pray. Father, as we look to these examples of faith that You've listed for us in Your Word, as we see the mighty victories that have been won, oh, Father, this morning, this very morning, would You strengthen us to wage war in our own lives, to fight sin with renewed vigor in our own lives. Father, would You enable us to renew our battle against temptation? Father, would You enable us by faith to put to death the deeds of the body that we may live? Father, would You enable us by faith to see great and glorious victories in the mundane things of life, in loving our neighbors, in caring for our children, in walking faithfully with our spouses, in working diligently at our jobs, in being faithful in evangelism, in building households for the glory of God, in serving Your people, the body of Christ, Oh, Father, may we see victories that are every bit as marvelous and glorious as the conquering of kingdoms. And Father, would you enable us to endure every suffering, from the smallest to the greatest? Would none turn aside from your way? Would none perish in the wilderness through unbelief on account of sufferings that come? But Lord, would we by faith endure all things for the sake of your name? Would you be our treasure and our joy? We ask that you do it now, that indeed we would overcome the world by our faith. In Jesus we pray. Amen.